star on my car and one on my chest, a gun on my hip and the right to arrest. I'm the guy who's the boss on this highway, so watch out what you're doing when you're driving my way. If you break the law, you'll hear from me. I know I'm a working for the state. I'm the highway patrol.
Ah, yes, highway patrol. Highway patrol means one thing. It's the return of Safety Talk here on KWHI, AM 1280, FM 101.7 with Sergeant Jimmy Morgan in the studio today, taking time out of his busy schedules on those highways and the byways, the freeways, waterways,
airways.
I mean, what are the ways, you guys?
Well, I think we got it. So far, what I know is I believe we have just about everything covered.
Everything covered.
Yeah, so I think we're in good shape.
Pretty sure we have the spaceways over Texas. Because
well, I mean, that may be our next deal.
Texas Space Rangers?
Yeah. I'll probably retire before that happens.
I don't know. You never know.
Well, I'm just saying. What a week. So we're in our last quarter of the year. I mean, 2018 is going by quick.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was kind of looking at some numbers and stuff like that, kind of see where we are as a state, obviously as a county, and all that good shape. But certainly if anybody has any questions, comments, whatever, they've got the numbers, hopefully.
Yeah, 979-836-9937. That's the number here. Easy enough to get a hold of you because you are here live in person.
Okay. Before I get started, another program that's going to be sponsored by Country Boys this morning. I do have a $10 gift certificate. If I can think of a trivia question between now and then, something easy or I don't know. Woodard, he's not here. He's supposed to have been here. But he says sometimes my questions are too hard. But anyway, I don't think so.
You just make people work for it, right? They're going to earn something.
A little bit.
Yeah.
So this morning I looked, we're at 2,587 fatalities on the year. I did an average, and right now we're looking at 285 a month, 9.5 fatalities a day. If we kept on that current pace, we would end up somewhere around 3,420, which would be somewhere around 300 less than what we had last year. The only problem with that is that, as we know, we're fixing to head into our busy time of year when it comes to holiday traffic and stuff like that, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and all that good stuff. So we typically have an uptick when it comes to that time of year. So, but based on over the years doing this, we're pretty much pretty close where we've always kind of been. So it just we're carrying that same pace. We still have not had a deathless day on our highway since November 7th, year 2000. And typically in this state, we work over 537,000 crashes a year on our Texas highways as we continue to grow and add more people onto our roadways. So anyway, coming in this morning, fog was in the, this week on and off, I've ran into fog and stuff. And just a quick reminder, a couple of reasons why you need to have your headlights on 30 minutes before sunrise, 30 minutes after sunset, or visibility less than 1,000 feet. And yes, we had some areas around Texas this morning that met that standard where, you know, and if you're just not sure, just put them on. And a lot of times these automatic headlights, they come on by themselves, whatever. So don't count them. Make sure you look at it, make sure they are on. But if you get in these situations where you come up on a intersection, it's real foggy, turn the radio off, roll your windows down, and see if that helps you out as far as hearing or anything like that. I mean, that's almost like driving blind, and that's scary. So you need all advantage you can get. And if you have an extra little time, if you can afford to stay home a little bit, not go in quite so early, a lot of time the fog and all that usually lifts from around 9, 10 o'clock. So, but if you don't have that advantage, you just have to do the best you can on that. So anyway, I went to a child seat checkup event. I had talked about I thought I talked about it on this program once before. But anyway, that was held this past weekend, Saturday, in Bryan at the Target store. And just a couple of things I saw while I was there before we got flooded. We had a lot of people in line to come have their car seats checked. And certainly we appreciate that, because we certainly – our whole goal is when we have them events is – did that child leave safer than what it was when they first got there? So just a couple of things, some stats that they put out. And 98 inspections were done. And we got started somewhere around 8:30, almost close to 9. And it started pouring down rain somewhere around 11. So we had, we were trying to do our best to get as many as we can before we knew the weather was coming in. 7 children arrived correctly. 66 new seats were issued. And what was happening on that, they did have, certainly they have sponsors that help sponsor their seats and stuff. So if that seat was not the right seat for that child, they outgrew it, or if it's damaged or whatever it may be. Far as outgrowing it, one of the things I noticed, if the mothers are out there listening, when you put that child in that safety seat, that harness needs to be on the shoulder, needs to be at or above the shoulder. And if it's not, and you've reached the highest clip point to where you can move it up, then that child's outgrown that child's safety seat. But either by that, by weight, or just so we look at that to make certainly they don't encourage anybody ever buying a used car seat, because you just don't know the history of it and all that good stuff. But anyway, 66 new seats were issued. 11 seats were found to be on recall. So I don't know if they replaced them. They probably did. 25 old seats unsafe were collected, and then 22 children arrived totally unrestrained. Well, I think part of that 22, like that, kids got, when they were sitting in line, you know, they probably got out of there. But when they showed up, they, yeah. You know. So anyway, just a few stats that they put out on that. So I don't know when the next one will be, but as soon as I find out about it, I'll mention it. Yeah.
Now, is that a ticketable offense right there?
Yes. So your car seat check events or the law on car seats, as you know, what's enforceable by law enforcement, that child is younger than 8 or under 4'9", or either one. To be out of a child seat, you either have to be 8 or 4'9", where you're not required to be in one. Mm-hmm. So that's what we enforce. And the other part of that law is that the child, even on your seat belts, it has to be worn or installed as manufacturer recommendation. So that's why what we tried. The best thing a parent can do when they get a child seat is certainly know the child. You know, all kids are different. Kind of know what you're buying. Do your homework. You know, I'm not a sponsor of any kind of manufacturer, which one's best and all that. Whatever one's best for your child, that's the one you need to buy. But also go to your manual, your vehicle, and it's going to talk about installation worth, where that installation is going to be. One of the things that we encourage is certainly if the most safest part of the vehicle is the center rear seat of a vehicle. And that's where a lot of parents would try to put that child. And one other thing that was mentioned is, you know, it started out a couple of years ago. We used to say rear face 1 year, then it went up to 2 years. Now they're saying, look, 2 years is good, but if we encourage even longer, if the child can ride forward, rear facing, we've encouraged it even a little longer than 2 years. So, so depending on your child, how the child's growing, how it's fitting in the car seat is going to determine how some of that works out for you. But one other thing I saw, items in the car. Look, when you're I know people sometimes, some people say that I live in my car or whatever, but whatever items, especially heavy items and stuff that can cause injury, you need to have that stuff secured away, whatever, you know, flying objects, being involved in a wreck, you certainly want objects flying around your vehicle. So I saw a lot of that where items just needed to be more secured in the vehicle. Let's see. That's about it on the car seat. So anyway, I just want to go over that. And like I say, if they have another car seat checkup event somewhere in the area, I'll try to look and find that out and pass that information on. One of the things, matter of fact, my trivia question today is, how long can a vehicle be parked on the side of the roadway without being towed? So that's easy enough. I'll let somebody figure that out. And because I've been seeing a lot of vehicles that have been left and left and left, and I'm thinking, and who typically, how's law enforcement look at that as far as enforcement of that rule and what comes into play? So, but yeah, how long can you leave your car parked on the side of the roadway without being towed?
All right, looks like we got a phone call coming in today already on that one. Good morning. You're on Safety Talk today.
3 days.
No.
All right, no. Thank you for calling, though. Try again.
Okay.
I would assume 3 days is 72 hours, right?
I think the math works out like that.
Something like that.
It's close enough.
Yeah.
Close enough. Here we go. Another phone call coming in this morning. Let's try this one out here. Good morning. You're on Safety Talk today.
24 hours.
No.
24 hours?
No.
Nope. Thanks for calling. Thank you for calling. Call back. All right. Well, 979-836-9937, 836-9937. How long can a vehicle be left on the roadway before it is...
Could be towed.
Towed, before it can be towed.
Now, so a factor of this, while we're talking about it, is that if it's not a traffic hazard when it's left, and okay. I'll go into some of that stuff, what I see on the roadway.
Good morning, Safety Talk.
Good morning, 7 days?
No, sir.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Man, this thing's harder than I thought it was going to be. So, so if we get a call or we come by and if it's blocking, it's near an intersection, it's blocking the view of that intersection, that's what we call a traffic hazard. You certainly can't leave it blocking somebody's entryway, driveway, and all that stuff. That's a good way of getting one removed pretty quick. But one of the another thing that I've been seeing on the roadway is, how we tell people that you can use the improved shoulder if somebody's slowing to make a left turn. And I've actually worked an accident in my career where somebody was doing that and they rear-ended a parked vehicle that was left. I don't know if it was left during the day or what time it was left, but nighttime is when the crash occurred and there was no lights left on the car that caused the problem there.
Yeah. Good morning. Today you're on Safety Talk.
48 hours, 2 days.
48 hours?
Yeah.
That's correct.
There you go. Good job, 48 hours. You are a winner today. All right. hang in line with me here today with information from you real fast, okay?
You want to go ahead and take our break and get that information?
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay, let's go ahead and do that.
So just hang out. We're going to take a break. We'll come back, and I'll get you the information off the air, okay?
Okay.
All right, thank you. There you go. 48 hours today, Sergeant Morgan. We'll expand on that after the break here this morning, 979-836-9937, or send us an email here, mail, M-A-I-L, at kwhi.com. Back after this on KWHI, AM 1280, FM 101.7.
Washington County Tractor in Brenham has the new upgraded PowerStar tractor from New Holland. It offers extra large comfort with extra small operating costs. Both the cab and the flat deck operator platform give you unmatched visibility and comfort controls. The new 74 horsepower Tier 4B engine reduces fuel consumption by up to 13% to decrease your cost. That's New Holland Smart. Make the new Holland PowerStar tractor from Washington County Tractor in Brenham a key member of your farming family.
The Toy Box Child Development Center in Brenham invites you to bring your preschooler to the Toy Box for a safe and clean environment and a curriculum-based program. This program will help your child learn and grow and prepare them for school. The Toy Box is open from 6:45 a.m. till 6 p.m. Monday through Friday and serves breakfast, lunch, and an afternoon snack. They have a big playground area and stress child development. Stop by and visit the Toy Box, 2203 South Austin Street in Brenham.
Everybody, somebody at the Toy Box.
Your favorite online boutique is opening a store in Brenham. The Flamingo Ranch, a boutique filled with fun, funky clothes and accessories, opens its doors this Saturday at 2809 Highway 290 West in Brenham. Inspired by a mom and daughter's wild hearts and gypsy spirit, the Flamingo Ranch is a boutique for women and teens. You'll find many options from fun and sassy t-shirts to work apparels and gifts. The Flamingo Ranch also carries camel jackets and camel ruffle tops, embroidery t-shirt dresses, lots of denim, and your favorite shoes. You'll find a few of their fun clothes and accessories on their website, theflamingoranch.com. Or you can come and join them on Facebook at the Flamingo Ranch VIP. And beginning this Saturday, you can visit the Flamingo Ranch in person when it opens from 10 till 6 for a fun-filled day at 2809 Highway 290 West in Brenham. Join them for their opening and their next-door neighbor's Independence Coffee 15th birthday bash. The Flamingo Ranch. Fun, funky clothes, and accessories that make people happy.
I really like being in their book.
Simply put, that's how Jimmy Bishop of Bishop Electric Incorporated feels about his advertising in the Downey Yellow Pages. Jimmy, you've been at this for a while, huh?
We've been here 37 and a half years, and Downey is my major advertising that I do. It just seems like the phone keeps ringing.
Well, what do you think would happen if you weren't in there?
I've never done without it to be able to tell, but it would definitely have an impact on the new people and people that don't know you.
So you'd say Downey is a cost-effective way to go, then?
I think it's really good for the price for what I'm getting. I have a full-page ad, and in the white pages, I'm the border on every white page.
Any final thoughts about Downey?
They're really geared in helping you get your bang for the buck.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Everything you need in one telephone directory. Downey delivers.
To advertise, call today, 866-7-DOWNEY.
Welcome back once again to Safety Talk on KWHI, AM 1280, FM 101.7. Craig Montana joined by Sergeant Jimmy Morgan in studio from the DPS. Talk with us here today. We've got about another 30 minutes left in the show. Plenty of time to call in, ask your questions, 979-836-9937, or email them to mail at kwhi.com. And congratulations to Jesse Kimball today.
Jesse Kimball. Okay.
Our winner knew that it was 48 hours, and that's from the 48 hours from when it gets tagged, right? Or is that 48 hours from?
You're probably that's probably what people want to know, because you go by sometimes you'll see that red sticker. So now you personally, as an officer, if I saw it there, or whatever, and I know the history because I've seen it, and I don't have a tag. It don't have to have a tag if you have personal knowledge that how long it's been there. But not sure, and you have a tag, an officer can go by and tag it, and then the other officers going by then would say, hey, somebody's tagged it. And so if they got time to mess with it, whatever it may be. And sometimes people may call in on it or whatever it may be. But the interesting part about these cars is certainly what we try to do if we haven't picked up. That we try to contact the owner and stuff like that if the paperwork's up. And that's why we tell people, hey, man, keep your driver license updated, keep your registration updated, your address and all that good stuff. Just these kind of things, because we kind of want to know what's going on. And we may or may not have a phone number on you, whatever. But so we'll try to definitely make contact, let you know one reason or another that the vehicle got towed. Because it was left, but I don't know. Lately, I've seen a lot of cars been left, and one of the things I was talking about is that the law requires you, if you're going to park a vehicle at nighttime on the side of the roadway like that, especially on the shoulder, it needs to be lit. If it's not lit, it has to have it's kind of like the headlights on fog. Less visibility is within 1,000 feet. You can see the car. In other words, you're parked under a street lamp. Okay, yeah. But typically on the, and like I said, I've worked an accident where a gentleman was using the shoulder to go around and pass and struck the back end of a car because he just did not see it in time. And he was going around while somebody was slowing to make a left turn. So we encourage people, if you're not going to be, and you know you're not going to be able to get the car fixed in that amount of time, we certainly You need to make the arrangements for the – so, you know, it's your decision who you want to tow the car, where you want the car to go. Mm-hmm. We get involved. We're just going to go with a rotation record. And so depending where you're from, that may not be a good outcome for
you. Now, who becomes liable in a wreck like that? Is it the person that left the car?
Well, it's certainly a factor because it's parked illegally parked vehicle. So I certainly think that's that's a factor of the accident. Absolutely. Because the driver is – the driver's doing a – illegal maneuver, which the improved shoulder allows you to do that. So I would say, yeah, the liability falls back on the owner of the vehicle on that situation. Certainly, I would argue that point.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Let's see here.
A question for you: did you happen to take part in any of the National Night Out activities earlier?
Well,
this week?
I went, took a picture.
Okay, so all right, you did a little PR. Huh?
Yeah, I'm the PR guy. Okay. You know, that guy.
But you know anything about how things turned out around the?
The
extended.
I can tell you up around Cameron that they had, you know, like say it's for the depending where you're at, who all shows up and stuff like that. But I think from what I've seen so far and heard, there was good turnout. People come out and supported that, which is good. It gets a lot, you know, that's a good time to, the visit with your law enforcement or your emergency responders and trying to put a face with a name or whatever. And certainly a good time to bring your kids out to meet law enforcement and do that. And I think if you're able to take advantage of that, of course, we know all kids like what? Fire trucks and police cars and all that.
They make noises.
So, because everyone, if you notice, if you went by one, everybody had their lights on. Yeah. So, them kids love that. So, anyway, did we have a call this morning?
I think we do. Good morning. You're on Safety Talk today. You have a question?
Yes, sir. This is, you're talking about the child restraining seats like that. On a child, how small or how young can they ride double with someone riding a motorcycle? And is there a weight limit on motorcycle rides? So if asking if a rider is 200 pounds, what's the heaviest passenger that he can carry?
Okay. So you're asking about weight on a motorcycle. I don't know anything about weight, but I can tell you about age. For a passenger to be on a motorcycle, the child has to be at least the age of 5.
Okay. Now, where does that child ride? How does that child get restrained? You know, you're talking about the child seat and things like that.
You can't put a car seat on a motorcycle.
Right.
So that's what I mean. So I would say a 5-year-old kid, not all 5-year-old kids are the same. So that's up to the parents. But you know, I didn't get into the lawmaking part of this. But it certainly says you got to have hand foot rest. You got to have handles. And you know, it's got to be space for that that passenger, and that passenger certainly if they're under 21 they have to have a helmet, and that child age at least 5 or older to be on that motorcycle. So
you know, when I was looking at a child that size, his arms cannot get around the driver of the motorcycle. So is there a
well, that's why they have hand grips for, though.
Okay, so that's his
foot rest and hand grips. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your call.
Thank you. There you go.
Yeah, I can honestly say I've not seen any kind of child safety seat on a motorcycle.
That would be interesting to find out how to do that.
I could probably say I can't probably find a manual of a motorcycle that tells you to properly install a car seat on a motorcycle.
You're looking on that one. Good morning, Safety Talk today.
Yes, my question is, do you have to have a tag on a tow dolly?
Oh, okay.
Like a car hauler, I guess?
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you when the car's on it, we treat that all as one. I would say all trailers have to be licensed unless they're... you don't get the exemption for farm plates. So I would say, yes, that a dolly trailer typically would have to have some type of tag. I would have to double check. But I'm just sitting there going through the exemptions in my head, and it is a trailer. and it's not exempt from farm use, and all trailers have to be registered. So I would think one would need to be registered.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's my question.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. And I'll double check on that. Because what makes me hesitate just a little bit on that, Craig, is the now, if it's not, if it doesn't have a vehicle on it, mm-hmm. obviously still a trailer by itself, is it not? And then, you know, so then you put a vehicle on it. Well, the vehicle on it is has a license plate. It may or may not have a license plate, but I don't see where it falls under any type of exemption like a farm trailer does, less than 4,000 pounds. It's not required to be registered at that point unless it reaches 4,000, goes over 4,000 pounds. So anyway, that's a good question, though. I'll double-check on that just to make sure I'm right. So last week, along with Child Safety Seat Week, there was also Child Train Safety Week. So I don't know if any officers around here ride on a train. Sometimes that happens, but especially if... now, we did have a train accident in my district, actually adjacent county over. And just to kind of remind some folks that, you know, most especially on main roads, the railroads have cross arms and stuff like mm-hmm. that. And but some of these county roads, private roads and stuff like that, they may not. And this one had, I believe, what I was told by the troop, had a kind of a yield sign, the crossbuck sign, but did not have the gates and stuff. So, look, when you're crossing the track, you've got to take your time and look, especially in that situation, because it relies on you. And, you know, as we know, a train can't just stop. You know, it usually takes a mile up to a mile, most of them, depending what speed they're going, but and the weight. I believe that person that got struck in that vehicle is going to it's got some injuries, but I think it's going to make it and whatever. So we certainly want to make sure we're looking. And a lot of things, you know, they'll honk the horn and all that stuff, but today's time, especially with the younger generation, they got the music cranked up and everything else, and they may or may not hear the horn. As loud as them things are, sometimes, you know, I've even seen people go down the road with the earphones on, jamming, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's not good, especially.
No, is that against the law?
No,
it's not. You can have headphones in.
No, yeah, I don't. There's nothing that says you can't have ear. You know, that's just like the, you know, the wireless. You'll see a lot of these truck drivers now with the headsets, I call them, mm-hmm. talking and stuff like that. But there's nothing on the books that prohibits that. So, but anyway, just kind of quick reminder that. When you're crossing or going to cross track and you see the lights come on, once them lights start flashing, by law, you're not supposed to cross that track. And I know a lot of people try to beat the gates and all mm-hmm. that, and that's how a lot of gates get damaged and stuff like that, especially if you're pulling a trailer or whatever it may be. So never try to beat the gates. And you're required to stop within 15 feet, no longer distance than 50. And a lot of times they'll have a stop line there, especially on asphalt and stuff. So you have a pretty good idea where the line is, where they want you to stop, get no closer than that, but no further than 50 feet. And usually when them lights come on, you use there's about 20 seconds. If you can put and it don't matter what speed the train's going. It's weird how that's timed out. But I've watched many of trains over my career most times it's from 18 to 20, depending if I get a good read on the lights when they first come on. But reason I say that, if you stall out or something happens, you know how much time you got to make a decision what you need to do.
It ain't much.
Got a call?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Good morning. You're on Safety Talk today. You have a question?
Yes, and Charlotte talking about child restraint this morning. I was wondering, what are the guidelines on school buses? Because I know a lot of times they're going to require them on school buses, especially after an accident, and then I don't know what the guidelines are, and I don't think they're required on school buses yet. So that is my question.
Right. So, you know, what happened to child safety seats when it comes to kids? When they expanded the term motor vehicle where the seatbelt laws apply, remember the van up to 15 passengers was also included in a passenger vehicle. So what happened was that daycare centers that had these type of vans, they had to comply with all, depending on the child age and everything, had to comply just like it was their a passenger car. So now on school buses, as you know, they've passed laws about installing, as of 2018, and putting shoulders 3-point hookups on school buses. But it allowed schools that held a meeting, and it didn't really say school board. I would assume be some type of school board meeting if they chose not to go, because the expense, I've been told by, or where I've read, somewhere between $8,000 to $10,000 to equip school bus extra. So some ISDs, they have that choice. If they want to opt out of that, the law allows them to opt out of that, where the school buses are not required to have seatbelts on them on that situation.
Okay. Well, I was just curious because most time when there's an accident with the bus, that's a topic that comes up. And
right.
And I know the cost is a major thing, so.
Yeah. I would say this about school buses. Typically, because of the size of a school bus, the most dangerous part of a school bus, if it involved an accident, percentage-wise, is when they're stopped loading and unloading. And it's usually somebody, for whatever reason, everybody always wonder, how do you hit such a big yellow thing? Well, that just shows how much people are not paying attention. And a lot of these crashes that I've went to on scene is usually somebody where the bus is struck from the rear while it stopped, either loading or unloading. But the size, they're set up pretty high, and they got some good weight. So typically, if there's any injuries, the injuries tend to be minor with the kids, and the vehicle that struck them tends to have all the damage and the serious injuries. So they are a safe transportation. Matter of fact, they're a safer transportation, what they've said, than you taking your kids in the car because of the size and all that. So the only difference is certainly a lot of, you know, well, I don't know, depending on the ISDs, I don't know what ISDs around are putting or allowing or paying the extra costs. Like I said, that's going to be up to them whether they do that or not. So I would think if there was enough parents in the ISD that wanted them, I think that would go through the school board and letting their intentions known that you'd like to have the seatbelts on the school buses. So,
all right. Well, thank you, sir.
All right. Thanks for your call.
Thank you. Appreciate it. We get 979-836-9937. If you want to talk to us here in the studio, ask your questions of Sergeant Morgan here on KWHI AM 1280 FM 101.7.
So if you happen to, let me know if we need to take another break. But
we got a couple of minutes before we take one, but soon.
If you happen to be caught in that situation where you got stuck on the tracks, and I've seen it, it happens more than you would think it would. Matter of fact, I think I even have some stats on that. But last year in Texas, we had 4 fatality crashes where a vehicle failed to stop for a train and 128 accidents total on that. But what they recommend is if a train's coming at you, run towards the train and veer off either left or right, whatever side you're on. Don't try to run away, because what happens is if your vehicle or whatever you're carrying gets impacted, that debris coming off it's going to go forward. So that's why they want you kind of running towards the train off to the side, you know, veering off one way or another. So you're not getting struck with the debris if you get in that situation. So in 2017, as a nation, there was 2,105 crashes with the train, 274 fatalities, and 807 injuries. So it happens more than you think. And it says here that 3 out of 4 crashes occur within 25 miles of a motorist home. And 50% of all crashes occur within 5 miles of home. So these are people that know the situation, and that and they live in the area where these things happen at. And it says here also that 20 motorists are 20 times more likely to die in a crash involving a train than involving in another motor vehicle, and that's based on the size and weight of the train. So certainly you can understand that. that stat there. So let's go ahead and take that last break and come back and watch. I'll go into some of this other stuff I got written down.
All right. Once again, listen to Safety Talk here on KWHI, AM 1280, FM 101.7. You have questions, call in 979-836-9937 or email here, mail@kwhi.com. We'll be back in just a moment.
Independence Coffee Company invites you to attend their 15th birthday bash Saturday, September 6th from 10 till 6 at 2805 Highway 290 West in Brenham. Enjoy sampling their anniversary blend, Liga Privada, and Nitro Cold Brew Coffee. Also check out all the products from their guest vendors, Candy Fight, Bessem Natural Scents, Jet Set Chocolates, and more.
But if you want the best, you get it where it grows.
I picked a San Antonio rose.
Music will be provided by Doug Boggs and the Cowboy Jazz Band and the Kites. Bring your own chair to enjoy the music on their outdoor pavilion.
Leave the city, sail to Spain someday.
Their new coffee and tea market, Black Truck 48, will be open for this event as well as neighboring boutique Flamingo Ranch. Also sign up for coffee tasting sessions on their Facebook page and learn all about different coffee roasts and origins. Food and drinks will be available to purchase from Jack's Food Truck and Brazos Valley Brewery. So mark your calendars for October 6th for the Independence Coffee Company's 15th birthday bash.
It's Brenham Cub football Friday night on KWHI AM 1280, FM 101.7, and KWHI.com. The Brenham Cubs continue district play when they play host to Georgetown Eastview. Kickoff is set for 7:30, pregame at 7 o'clock, and it's homecoming. We'll have the crowning of the homecoming queen coming up at halftime. That's Brenham Cub football coming up Friday night on AM 1280, KWHI FM 101.7, and KWHI.com.
If you see a police officer, fire truck, EMS, TxDOT, or a tow truck driver with their lights on the side of the road, remember, you must move over or slow down. This is Sergeant Stephen Woodard with the Texas Department of Public Safety reminding you, if you do not vacate the lane closest to the public servant or slow down 20 miles per hour below the speed limit, you can incur a fine of at least $200. The move over law is in effect for your safety and others that serve you in the state of Texas. Remember, move over or slow down. It's the law.
KWHI is where the news comes first. I'm Josh Bloschke, news director for KWHI. We are committed to bringing you the best news coverage. If news happens in Brenham, Washington County, or the surrounding counties, KWHI will be there bringing you the latest information. With local headlines at the top of every hour following ABC News and three major newscasts every day at 7:30, noon, and 5, you'll always stay up to date on the latest news. That's right here on KWHI, AM 1280 and FM 101.7, where the news comes first.
Welcome back to Safety Talk once again on KWHI, AM 1280, FM 101.7, as we've got Sergeant Morgan in the studio here, and that got off the phone, making phone calls around, trying to get information for the folks here today. You're working for them.
Oh, hey, they got me working. That's good. That's good. So, you know, like I say, I'm not 100%, but I try to get close as I can. So I did call one county, and they're thinking they're required to be registered, the trailer dollies. So anyway, I felt some hesitation there.
Okay.
So the only trailer, like I say, in my experience doing this job, the only trailer that I know, there's a couple trailers, actually. Well, no, registration-wise. The only trailer I realize that gets the exemption from registration is that that farm trailer on 4,000 and then farm plate 4,000 to 34. But my understanding, all the other trailers had to be registered. So, but like I said, I did try to make the phone call and I did make a phone call. So they're thinking they do. So anyway, one thing that I have been seeing down the road, and you don't see this a whole lot. What is a modified vehicle? What would that mean to you, Craig? A modified vehicle.
Modified vehicle? Anything that's has something that's not factory on it?
Okay.
Anything extra?
Okay, that's part of it. So a modified vehicle, if you go to 727-001 of the transportation code, basically what that is, and you'll see, I call them low riders, okay? And basically what that... what that is when, you know, and you'll see these this time of year, sometimes even in the spring, they'll have these, you'll see them going down the highway. Some are being trailered. Some are actually being driven, but they go to these car shows and stuff like that. So, and just some sit low, and then, of course, when they get to the car, you don't want to do it while you're going down the roadway, but they do all kind of different things with the cars, lift them up, do all kind of, you know, the suspension and all that. But the rule of thumb is on a what they consider a modified vehicle, which is, I think, is up to a $50 fine. So not a very high fine, but and what it's there is to protect the roadway. But anything lower than the lowest part of the rim is considered a modified vehicle. So if you're fabricating or putting, you know, we worry about people putting jack plates and stuff, getting their vehicle high, but there's some people like to get the car real low. But certainly if anything's lower than the lowest part of your rim, that's considered a modified vehicle. In other words, the springs and stuff that you have, the bolts and stuff, U-joint bolts or whatever them bolts are called down there, certainly if I see a lot of them get real close. What they don't want damage done to the asphalt and stuff. So that's why they have that in there. But just if you see that people doing that, that is a violation. And I see it just every now and then. I used to stop a few cars for that and let them know they have to get either change out the rims or they're going to have to change that up to get the that corrected. But that's what a modified vehicle is, and there actually is a law on that. Speaking about towing vehicles, every now and then you'll see somebody being towed down the roadway, and certainly we don't have a problem with that, but we need to be kind of smart about how you do all that. First, make sure you have something strong enough that's going to tow the vehicle that you're trying to tow. I've seen all kinds of things being used, but make sure the towing apparatus is you're no more than 15 feet. And there's you're carrying a white flag in the middle of that. So that's what's required by law if you're going to tow somebody down the roadway. Got another call this morning?
We do. Good morning. You're on Safety Talk today.
Yes, sir. I'm just wondering if y'all could talk about what's required when you have a 14-foot trailer, 20-foot gooseneck, and you want to haul a tractor or a skid steer. You know, what's required for securing those vehicles to the trailer.
Okay, I got a 14-foot trailer.
Yeah, like a 14-foot trailer you want to haul a tractor on.
Yeah, I know some 16s. They actually make four. I guess they make 14s, but I know a 16 is pretty standard. Okay, tell me a little bit more about it. We got dual tires, or what kind of tires we got on this trailer?
Tandem axles.
Tandem axles.
Mm-hmm. And brakes on all the way around.
Uh-huh. And so you talk about a steer skid, like a little small tractor on top of it?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, is this for commercial use? Is this something that's used on a job site or something?
No, this is just personal use.
Well, what's personal?
I haul it from.
What do you do with it?
Shred pasture or cut down brush and.
Okay.
And you know, it's just you're just hauling it from one place to the other, and all it's right. All personal use.
Well, I'm gonna start from the bottom. I always tell people, look, before you do anything in life, what you got to have, Craig, is a good foundation. Okay, so I'm gonna start with a good foundation and try to work myself up. And somewhere along the line, I'm gonna be probably talking about where this gentleman's at with his. So usually when we talk about people and their trailers and stuff, the first thing we have to ask is, you know, give me kind of a description. Now, what are you going to use it for? So certainly we just got through talking about farm license plates and stuff like that. So he's certainly under this kind of situation. He's going to be over the 4,000 pounds. So if it's used for farm use, yes, you can register that trailer farm use, which gives you some type of exemptions under safety chains and all that. You get exemption under CDL and all that. Now, if he's not using it for farm use and he's using it for gainful employment, with most people, that's what they use with a skid steer. They, you know, move dirt and do other job sites and stuff like that. Then if his weight is over 26, combination weight is over 26,001, that's going to be required a CDL on that, on the driver license part of that. and then you're going to fall under, the DOT regulations and stuff. You're going to have, depending what type of trailer, gooseneck, whatever, either chains, safety chains, or the breakaway tow device, that trailer's going to have to be inspected. So depending on what you're doing with, the best way I can answer that question is not a blanket answer just for that one situation.
Okay. Well, I guess my concern was...
What kind of driver license do you have?
I just got a regular driver's license.
Yeah.
I got a 20-foot gooseneck that's got not form plates on it.
I always tell people CDL applies to three different things I can think of. Weight, which is 26,000 combination, or just one weight of 26,000. If you haul any kind of hazmat material, that's going to require at least a Class C CDL. Or if you're hauling a certain number of passengers, 16 or over, it's going to require at least a Class B CDL to be able to do that. So that is that's the three ways it's going to get you in a CDL driver license. And then far as registration, all that other stuff, again, if you stay within 150 miles, you may be exempt from log, but you may be required under some of the other federal motor carrier. All depends what you're doing with the trailer and the skid steer. I'm not even saying that right. Skid steer?
Skid steer.
Yes. I get my tongue tied up there. if you would... you want to call me back because the show's fixing to end, you can do that. That's 254-482-0848, and I can continue the conversation.
Yeah, I'll still do that.
All right, and unfortunately, that's going to be it for our show today on KWHI AM K269GU FM in Brenham. This has been another edition of Safety Talk.